This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered. For just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio and Stuff Media. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum, and today we're talking about limes.
Yes, limes, which I'm really excited about. I love lime.
Oh, I love a lime. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love a lime. But we're not talking about lemons today, but my old pen name was Lemon Squeezy. But then I decided that was too tacky, so I changed to Plum Pickens.
Which is clearly way classier.
Yeah. Clearly, Professor Plum and Clue was like,
oh,
he was pretty.
Super classy. Yeah. Urbane, even.
Urbane, indeed. One of the first things I thought about when we were, and I'm always like, let's include some fun banter at the top. It's so fun. I know it is. LimeWire. That's Annie's music empire was built on LimeWire.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day when you had all of the mix CDs.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Annie's Music Mix. For anyone who doesn't know, this was a file sharing service.
Yeah.
That I would say largely got used for illegally sharing music.
Yes. Much like all of the file sharing services circa that time.
Yep, pretty much. I don't know if it's still around anymore. I don't think so.
I have absolutely no idea.
I have a friend of a friend who met her husband on LimeWire.
That's so sweet.
Isn't it?
Oh, heck. Yeah, I don't have any stories about LimeWire particularly, but uh-huh. But my roommate does have a lime tree. Which apparently she has grown, much to the chagrin of one of my friends from a farming family from Florida. She has grown it incorrectly, and it's now just a permanently dwarfed little, like, shrub-sized tree. But that's actually very convenient for, you know, her and also, you know, me, because
right.
We have to move it inside and outside every winter and summer.
Yeah. That'd be much harder to do with, like, a big tree.
With a full-sized tree. Yeah. As it stands, it's not lightweight.
Mm-hmm.
But it is heckin' delightful. Like, about once every 2 years, we get, I don't know, like 20 to 40 limes, like a whole bunch of limes.
Wow.
And the flowers, I mean, especially for a small tree.
Yeah.
And the flowers smell beautiful and oh, it's just, it's really nice.
It sounds lovely.
It has thorns. Limes have thorns.
They do indeed.
This is something that I would have been surprised by had I not already pricked myself on a lime tree.
That makes sense. I was surprised to learn that. But this brings us to our question.
Oh, yeah.
Limes. What are they?
Well, limes are a whole mess of species within the genus Citrus, though they do have diverse genetic... diverse
oh,
genetics?
I was immediately delighted by that. I love that.
Oh, all right. We'll keep it. Sure. They have diverse genetics. Things called limes tend to be smallish, roundish fruits that consist of a greenish outer skin, sometimes yellow when ripe, dotted all over with sacks of highly fragrant oils. And inside of that, there's a thin white layer of spongy pith, which protects sections of delicate little pale green juice sacks and the fruit seeds all inside of that. Yeah. The juice of limes tends to be acid tart and bright and a little bit bitter, and the oils in the skin tend to be floral and bright and bitter. These fruits grow on trees that can range in size, shape, and climate preference, but generally, limes are tropical to subtropical. Frost will at best hurt the crop and at worst permanently damage the tree. Mm-hmm. They do grow year-round, but there's usually one or two primary fruiting seasons. And yeah, lots of them are just thorny as heck. The leaves of some lime varieties are also used in some cuisines. They tend to be dark green and shiny on top and pale and matte underneath. They've got a sort of gentler vibe in flavor than lime zest, but a similar-ish floral, bitter, bright profile.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the word lime seems to come from a Persian word for the fruit, limon, which then filtered through Arabic and either Portuguese and or Spanish to get to English sometime around the 1630s.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Nutrition-wise, lime zest and juice pack a lot of flavor for a low caloric load. They contain a little less sugar and a little less citric acid than lemons do, and they're pretty high in vitamin C. The juice of one lime has about a third of your daily recommended value
of
vitamin C. Yeah. Vitamin C being useful because it's an antioxidant, which means that under certain conditions, it can help your body prevent certain diseases like cardiovascular disease, the cold and flu, even some types of cancer. It also helps your body absorb iron.
Yeah. I said that. I was just remembering I read that somewhere, and I'm glad that that is true.
Yeah.
It's always nice to know that something you read is true.
Oh, yeah. And that your brain hasn't just made up a fact.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you can see our margarita episode for more about lime burn, also known as margarita dermatitis.
Yes. This is the thing where limes and other citruses are so acidic that if you have the juice on your skin and then you're out in the sun, mm-hmm. you can get a sunburn.
Yeah. Pretty severe.
Like a chemical burn from.
Yeah.
It's not good. Don't. Mm-mm. Wear sunscreen, stay in the shade, wash your hands. Never go outside.
Your vampire side is coming out, Lauren. I mean, this is good
advice.
Avoid
garlic.
Always wait to be invited in. That's just polite. We know what you're up to.
I'm not saying. I'm just saying. This is all good advice.
True. Yeah. Hmm. Anyway, we've got a vampire and some kind of sleeper agent on our team. Interesting. All right, but numbers. Actually, not super easy to come by, but as of 2012, 12% of limes come from Mexico. And that is followed by India, Argentina, Brazil, and Iran. There are so many types. Persian limes are the most commercially grown.
Sometimes called Tahitian limes.
Mm-hmm. There's also Mexican limes, often called key limes, which I learned is an American retronym. And I just like the word retronym.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mexican or key limes are smaller and more tart than Persian limes.
There's also finger lime, sometimes called lime caviar, sweet limes and mandarin limes, blood limes.
Lime quats. It's a mix of kumquats and limes. It's great. If you guys have never seen finger limes or caviar limes, go look up a picture of these things. It's wild. Like the juice sacs are kind of like a little bit more willy-nilly inside the rind of the fruit. And so when you cut into one, it looks like, I don't know, like you pull it away and it looks like a salmon roe nigiri.
Oh. Huh. How interesting, nature.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there is one variety of lime whose name you probably still see on store shelves in the West, but that you should endeavor to learn a different name for. And the name that I'm looking to avoid saying here is K-A-F-F-I-R. And I'm looking to avoid saying it because it's also a terrible racial slur used to demean black people in South Africa. The etymology of the name for the lime and the slur seem to be separate, but that doesn't mean it's okay to go tossing the word around because it's hate speech in certain parts of the world.
But it
is one of the top three commercially grown limes in the world, and its leaves and rind are important elements in many Southeast Asian cuisines. Calling them Thai limes or Makrut limes is preferred.
And Americans on average eat 3 pounds of limes a year.
Whew.
I would imagine a lot of that goes into cocktails. But, you know, I don't know. Since 1980, American lime consumption has increased by 10 times. And that's mostly as we've been exposed to more dishes from around the world that utilize lime more than we do slash did.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Lime is used in all kinds of things. Drinks like the margarita or limeade. Desserts like key lime pie. It's used in tacos and chutneys. Lime pickles are integral in South Indian cuisine, in Vietnamese dishes like pho, in Thai food, dried lime in Persia and Iraqi food, part of the marinade for ceviche. The juice mixed with salt is sometimes called an old sour. And the twigs are used as chewing sticks in parts of Africa.
The leaves can be used dried in soups and stews, like in curries. That's one of the flavor profiles in Thai curries for sure. Or fresh in cooking, salads, or as garnish. You can look for frozen makrut leaves at your local Asian grocery. Lime juice is an important ingredient in jam and salad dressing industries because of its citric acid.
And it can be used in a variety of non-food ways, like lightening hair, which as an actress I've been advised to do, usually more with lemon.
Sure, either way.
And cleaning coffee pots, kind of an old wives' tale I stumbled upon.
Yeah, all kinds of cleaning products are made with lime juice and zest oils, stuff like that.
I went on such a big margarita kick a couple years ago. I bought like a specialized lime juicer.
Yeah,
I use the heck out of it all the time. Limes. They're harder to like juice than lemons.
They tend to be a little bit stiffer.
Yeah.
Especially these days as we have perhaps lower quality limes coming into the United States.
Mm.
But do a good roll it on the table thing before you juice it. That'll help kind of squish all the bits inside. Pre-squish. Yeah.
Pre-squish before the big squish.
Yeah. You can also microwave a lime for just like under 30 seconds. Like 10 to 20 seconds, I would say, just enough to kind of excite the molecule, loosen everything up. Pre-squish.
My margarita game is about to get even better. Thank you, Lauren.
Anytime.
All right. But this about brings us to our history portion. But first, it brings us to a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach.
Give me great food.
Tacos.
Give me adventure.
Hiking.
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise.
Give me some smiles.
Cheese.
Give me more beaches.
Beaches.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time-ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gagillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you. So, citrus trees, as we sort of know them, have been around for about 8 million years, which we know because researchers found a fossilized citrus leaf that's about that old in what's now southwestern China.
Wow.
Yeah. Records of citrus cultivation in general go back some 4,000 years, but it's likely that the varieties that we know today took thousands of years of hybridization, both natural and human-produced.
Right. The first wild limes probably originated in the Indonesian archipelago or perhaps on the Asian mainland. Records show that they were first commercially grown in Babylonia, modern-day Iraq.
And these were what we today call papetas, a group of limey citrus species that includes the aforementioned makrut lime. The fruit of many papetas is too sour or bitter to really want to mess with, but they tend to be hardy, and their skin and leaves, again, can be an excellent ingredient in cooking.
Arabian traders spread limes along with other citrus that they encountered in India to the eastern Mediterranean and Africa sometime around 1000 CE and to Spain even earlier, as early as 400 CE. When the Crusaders returned to the western Mediterranean in the 12th and 13th century, they brought with them limes. They were being cultivated in Italy and also probably France in the 1300s.
Sometime amidst all of this spread and cultivation, molecular geneticists today think that papetas were crossed with species of citrons, which is another one of the original primary types of citrus, to give rise to many of the species of limes that we know today. The original primary types of citrus being, papetas, citron, mandarin, and pomelo.
That's your trivia fact of the episode.
It is.
You're going to really impress somebody with that one.
Keep that one close to you, folks.
You would impress us for sure. Who am I kidding? I'd be like, oh, wow. And I'm glad you included this because I got really confused in this episode researching. This lime has so many different paths and because there's different types of limes. Like the history of lime is like, a lot.
It is. And I think that we could probably do a full episode on any of the specific varieties of lime that exists today. I love it when we just go like, yeah, sure, let's just do rice.
Oh, I don't even want to think about that episode ever again. Oh, that other way of measuring time before physics, that was great.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Heck.
No, I would happily talk about rice again, but that we were foolish to undertake that.
Well,
we came through on the other side.
We did, as we hopefully shall do today.
I like it. We're on a roller coaster and we're not sure if we're going to ever make it to the end. I think we can.
Yeah.
So Christopher Columbus.
Oh, that guy.
That guy brought citrus seeds on his 1493 journey to the West Indies, probably including lime seeds, not too long after the trees could be found there, along with in Mexico and in Florida, and they were common in Haiti by 1520. As we've mentioned in a couple of our Cocktail Hour episodes, lime juice was frequently used in beverages by the British Navy to prevent scurvy. That's where the term limey comes from. This, at first, was a closely monitored military secret.
Oh, yeah.
And was the idea of Sir James Lind, although people had been doing it before then, they just weren't entirely sure about it. He even if he didn't have the science exactly right, he was pretty sure, like,
he was like, yeah, no, this will work. Let's implement this as a plan.
I think he did one of the first controlled random trials to to the bottom of this.
Huh. Uh-huh.
And, so Lind was a Scottish naval officer, and he realized that scurvy had killed more people than skirmishes.
Ooh.
For example, of the almost 2,000 soldiers on a four-year circumnavigation of the globe ending in 1744, only 145 survived. Four had been killed by enemies, and scurvy killed the rest.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a huge deal. This is my rabbit hole of the episode. I researched so much about scurvy. And I had to rein myself in. But you can see our gin and tonic episode for the potentially anti-malarial properties of quinine and tonic and the addition of lime and gin to make the medicine go down. That's one of my favorite histories in a cocktail hour episode we've ever done.
Yeah, that was a really good one.
It was. The Surgeon General of the East India Company recommended lime juice as far back as 1614. By the 1850s, sailor's grog, which was a mixture of rum, water, and lime juice, was part of sailors' rations. And this ultimately helped the British defeat Napoleon. So yeah, big deal.
Kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal. Persian limes from Brazil arrived to Australia in 1824 and in California via Tahiti sometime between 1850 and 1880.
Hence the term Tahitian lime.
Exactly. Since the Persian lime was hardier than the key lime with its thinner skin, and that made that key lime less suitable for transport, cultivators in Florida switched out most key limes to Persian limes. Small-scale commercial cultivation of limes in Orange and Lake counties in Florida began in 1883. And after a 1906 hurricane and depletion of the soil due to pineapples, farmers in the Florida Keys replaced their crop with limes. They would then be pickled in salt water and sent to Boston and sold as a snack. Kids in particular liked them, and they were even mentioned in Little Women, which I love.
Yeah.
A hurricane in 1926 wiped out this small industry, though.
I say like affirmatively as though it's a fun fact. It's not really. I mean, that's
just a fact.
It is, but a lot of hurricanes, due to the tropical and subtropical climate of limes, a lot of hurricanes have impacted a lot of lime industries around the world over time.
Yeah, and it's I would say one of the main reasons that the U.S. gets most of our limes from Mexico, and we'll go into that a little bit more detail in a minute.
Yeah, absolutely.
The early 1900s is when the Key Lime took off in Key West, which at the time was the southernmost American city. I love this. Okay, so milk tanks they couldn't make their way down there.
Okay.
So before the opening of the Overseas Highway in 1930, hence milk tanks could now get down there, chefs used canned condensed milk soured with lime.
Oh, wow.
However, after that 1926 hurricane wiped out most of the crop of key limes, they were replaced with Persian limes, meaning most key lime we see on menus instead refers to Persian limes. Most of the time, not all the time. Occasionally, there is real key lime involved, but generally speaking, probably not. From what I read, though, it might be less uncommon now to actually have real key lime.
Yeah, I know that I've seen them in grocery stores more often.
Yeah. And there's a couple places in Key West, Florida, where it's just known that that's real key lime you're getting. Raymond Sokolov wrote about his search for key limes in 1981, quote, "The poorest Caribbean can find real limes in his local marketplace, but in America we can only buy Tahiti limes in our glistening supermarkets. Even, or perhaps especially in the Keys, the conspiracy to hide this botanical masquerade has succeeded almost completely in perpetuating the myth of a regional dish."
Oh, heck.
I know. Whew. "There seem to be two agreed-upon rules for a good key lime pie in Key West. One, no green food coloring. And two, no gelatin."
I would agree.
Yeah? Have you ever made a key lime pie?
No, that's squeezing a lot of tiny, tiny limes.
I've heard it's very intensive.
It's a little tedious, yeah. I do have a friend who doesn't cook essentially at all, but he does make a key lime pie, and it's terrific. Matt, if you're listening, shout out to your key lime pie. It is always excellent.
I love those friends that have the one thing they'll make.
Yeah.
And I especially love it when it's something complicated.
Like weird and complex. And I'm like, all right.
How did this happen?
So great. It's delicious, though.
Well, this did get me. I don't normally crave key lime pie, but during this episode, I've been like,
I do all the time. Citrus desserts are some of my favorites.
Yes. I have a list of anytime someone tells me their favorite dessert, I write it down, and you're on my list as
As a citrus lover?
Yes. Just in case I ever want to make somebody a dessert, I like to be able to consult the list and know what their favorite things are. Anyway, that's just something about me. After World War I, the Persian lime had solidified its place as a commercial product in the United States, despite initial consumer resistance at the so-called green lemon. Canadians resisted at first, too, preferring the more flavorful key lime. George D. Fleming Jr., proprietor of Key Lime Associates, was looking to make what he called a vacation cottage colony of limes in 1953. The next year, as the Florida Keys were developing, the Upper Florida Keys Chamber of Commerce was founded, in part to spread the word about this lime that they were afraid might die out otherwise.
Huh.
In 1959, with the help of the Upper Keys Kiwanis Club, they launched an educational campaign encouraging residents to plant the lime and have lime nurseries, and then to go on to sell the tree, which I kind of adore. Since 1960, the Caribbean island of Dominica has made a business out of selling the juice from Mexican limes, most of which goes to the UK for settling in wooden vats, followed by a clarifying process. It's bottled as Rose's Lime Juice in England, a product of L. Rose & Co. Ltd. Any surplus is sold to soft drink producers. Nowadays, L. Rose & Co. Ltd. gets most of their lime juice from Ghana. I have never heard of this product, but it sounds like it's very popular.
Oh, it's pretty, I'm nearly positive you've seen a bottle of it. It's frequently sold, I think, next to a bottle of grenadine. Like, there's one that's quite green and one that's quite red. Am I thinking of the right thing? And the wrapper is kind of like red and white and sort of floral and like old-timey.
Huh.
Yeah.
I just keep picturing a Perrier bottle, but it has Rosie the Riveter on front, and I'm not sure why that's what I picture. But
that's definitely not. That's definitely not.
Does that even exist? If not, it should. It's just because the name is Rose. I'm a very simple person in some ways.
Well, yes. It's shelf stable, and I wouldn't say that it necessarily tastes like lime juice, but it has a lime flavor to it for sure.
It's a lime flavor to it.
It tends to be sweetened.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And since it's, pasteurized and still shelf stable, it's not as punchy.
Oh. Okay. That reminds me of another old wives' tale, that drinking Sprite if you had an upset stomach would
magically
chill your stomach out.
I know my mom used to give me ginger ale. Ginger does have a little bit of a stomach property, but I don't think the ginger ale particularly helps. I liked it. I was a fan.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm getting to drink ginger ale. Yeah.
All right. Stepping back a bit to 1954, Libby McNeil and Libby switched over 100 acres of previously dedicated to grapefruit, of land previously dedicated to grapefruit, over to Persian and Tahitian limes.
That was in Florida, yeah.
Yes. Production increased 60% in the 70s, and the industry was valued at $9 million in 1979. And Florida was the big dog in terms of lime production in the United States. To this day, Florida produces about 90% of America's lime crop. As more immigrants from Latin America came to the U.S. and brought with them more dishes that utilized lime, the citrus grew in popularity and demand went up. Then, in 1992, Florida's lime production took a massive blow with Hurricane Andrew.
I was living at that time in South Florida, and Andrew was supposed to hit my town of Coral Springs, but it veered and hit much closer to Homestead, the seat of the South Florida lime industry.
Yes. And while this industry did mostly recover by 1999, in the meantime, Mexico had filled that lime void. A disease decimated Florida limes in 2000. So that's like only a year later.
Yeah.
7 years later, the industry was once again virtually non-existent thanks to this disease. Not wanting to plant new citrus trees only for them to get reinfected, they pivoted to other crops like avocado.
As of 2014, there were just 400 acres of limes being grown in Florida. Time magazine compared that with 41,000 acres of lemons out in California. If you've noticed the price of limes going up, that is part of why.
Another part, a couple of years ago, bad weather, crime, and disease plagued the lime crop in Mexico, where the U.S. gets most of our limes, most of being a whopping 97%, and that drove up the price of limes. For example, a 40-pound box of limes went up from $20 to $120.
Yeah, and that organized criminal activity part is a really huge factor in that. As of about 2011, the crime cartel Los Caballeros Templarios, in English that would be the Knights Templar, they were facing increasing difficulties in the drug trade, so they began extorting lime farmers and exporters in Mexico, really violently. It's a bloody and ongoing story, though the violence and industry impact perhaps peaked around 2014. The cartel has since switched its sights to avocados more recently, and that is a whole other story that is terrifying that I would love to go into someday. It's very fascinating.
Yeah, and when we were deciding on this episode, I have to say one of the first things I think about when I think about limes and avocado is this. I didn't remember the details, but I knew at one time, mm-hmm. like the price of limes had gone way up and there was this fear of like, what are we going to do about limes? And
yeah.
It was because of the things we said, but I remembered the crime in Mexico. So yeah, should.
Yeah, I would love to have a whole depressing episode on that sometime.
I'm sure we shall. Avocado's been on our list for a long time to cover.
It has been, yeah. I would organized crime around avocados globally is really a thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Well. On that note, that about rounds up our lime episode.
It does.
We do have a little bit more for you. But first, we've got one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with
Listener Mail.
Sometimes I just randomly wear shirts that are like, kind of freaks me out.
Yeah?
And today I wore a shirt that's Sprite-based.
Oh.
And I never wear this shirt. And then we did this episode and it's got like a lime on the back.
Yeah.
It was just in something in the back of my brain.
Tiny little grain in the back of your, yeah.
Anyway, that listener mail was inspired by the like...
Effervescence?
Yeah.
Aw, okay.
I've had Sprite. Well, I gave up soft drinks in what, 2007?
So a minute ago.
2005, I gave them up. So
oh,
yeah, it's
wow.
been a long time.
Oh my goodness.
On a dare, because I am easily manipulated.
Aside from Rockstar, that's not a soft drink.
Right, it's only, and I will allow it if it's mixed with alcohol.
Okay.
Which today, as we record this, is National Gin and Tonic Day.
Oh, it is?
I think so. Well, I got an email about it. They knew. They were like, you know who needs to hear about this? Anyways. Yep. So Katie wrote, just FYI, in the pretzel episode, when you said Pennsylvania consumed the most pretzels, I thought you said Pretzelvania. And do not tell me you didn't. We should have. That's a missed opportunity.
Oh, Pretzelvania.
Yes. I think they should rename the state.
That is absolutely a t-shirt. I have an email about t-shirts to write to our t-shirt humans this very afternoon. And I am
Pretzelvania.
Pretzelvania. This is happening, y'all.
Is it going to have some kind of vampire theme? We got to think about
it.
Vampire pretzels. Oh boy!
All right. Oh, they could be little like the little bats.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
Anyway, we both just went to a really strange but similar place. Okay. All right. Ron wrote, I just finished listening to your New Orleans series, and I really enjoyed it. I'm heading there in June for a large family reunion, and love knowing what I'm getting into. My mom grew up there in a family of 10 kids, so a reunion should have well over 100.
Ooh.
Oh, goodness, I've got such a small family. Okay, I've only been there 3 times in my life as I've lived in California. The last time 20 years ago, and the first time I was there for Mardi Gras. My aunt took me to some of the parades, and I would have never guessed I would have the time of my life being out in the cold catching worthless trinkets. And yes, some of my young cousins had the box on the ladder to watch the parade. This time I'll be going out for some nice meals. My cousin works for the Brennan family, so it should be more fun than I'm used to lately. At the reunion, we'll be eating po' boys, crawfish boils, and gumbo. I've included my Aunt Ruth's gumbo recipe.
We love recipes. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Oh, goodness.
I love this, and I love the catching of worthless trinkets because
yes.
As somebody who's really, really competitive, and I didn't like candy.
Like the beads at parades for
jam. I would fight. I would fight for candy that I knew I was just going to give away later. But the thrill of catching it and, having more than everyone else.
Yeah. Huh.
Heart. I'm getting excited just thinking about it.
You're like, yeah.
What's a parade I can go to and not get in trouble for taking stuff away from kids?
In general, in Atlanta, I think you're not allowed to toss things off of
floats. Yeah, they kind of hand.
They have to hand it to you.
Yeah.
As I found out one day when I rather tipsily joined the Halloween parade in Little Five Points.
I was there.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. But I quickly was set right. I think only one small child was vaguely emotionally upset by the experience. I still feel bad about it. I genuinely am upset that I might have upset that little girl.
You created an enemy that day. She's plotting your demise.
I'm sorry, tiny princess fairy.
Yes, she's real remorse. I can see it. Don't build whatever super collider thing you're doing to destroy her.
I would greatly prefer it. I'll come hand you candy gently anytime you want.
We do have a lot of free candy here at the office. So.
We do.
And it's
true.
The good stuff.
It is. Sometimes it's the full-size bars, and yes. I feel like real baller.
I know. I look around as if this can't be true. Anyway, thanks to both of them for writing. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at SaverPod. We do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio and Stuff Media. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thank you, as always, to our super producers, Andrew Howard and Dylan Fagan. Thank you to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Let's hit it. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a wave.
Surfing.
Give me a city tour.
The trolley.
Give me animals.
The zoo.
Give me some sea life. Give me museums.
Balboa Park.
Give me a woo.
Roller coaster.
What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your family vacation at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.